Faith is not a feeling, because the only way you know you have faith is by what you do.
Dr. Tony Evans says when it comes to reversing irreversible situations, there's no substitute for taking action.
If your feet not moving, you're not trusting the Lord. I don't care how faithish you feel.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. If you've spent too long seeking deliverance by sticking with strategies that don't work, Dr. Evans has some new ideas for you today. Let's join him.
We know that when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the eternal curse has been removed forever. Our standing before God is completely solidified. But living in this world, you can often feel cursed. By that I mean negative circumstances that seem to control you rather than you controlling them. Because we lived in a cursed environment, because the presence of sin continues its negative repercussions on us, there is this circumstantial curse that often seems to plague us. So we've been looking at many people in the Bible who were seemingly under what would be in Scripture a curse that God reversed it so that you can find hope for your situations that appear that they just won't go away. The more I'm into it, the more I'm discovering this is replete over and over again in the Scripture where God reversed circumstances that people appear to be stuck in. Such was the situation in the story you are well acquainted with of the 10 lepers. Jesus is passing between Samaria and Galilee, according to Luke chapter 17, verse 11. He enters one of the small towns there, and verse 12 says, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance raised their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We've got 10 men with the same problem. Their common problem was the problem of leprosy. Now, leprosy was a physical ailment, but it was also tied to a judicial act. In other words, it just wasn't that you had a disease. Leprosy is regularly stated in the Bible as the judicial judgment of God. We saw that with Miriam. When Miriam rebelled and Aaron rebelled against Moses, and Miriam was made leprous as a divine judgment. So it was a physical problem that was tied to a spiritual issue. That's what leprosy was. It manifested itself physically, where the skin would progressively turn white until you became, in some statements, white as snow. So these 10 men had the same problem. Now, the implications were fairly staggering, as we've already discovered. Because when you caught leprosy, you not only had a physical problem, you had a psychological problem. Because now you had to live with rejection. And all of us who have ever been rejected knows the pain psychologically of feeling rejected. Why? Because the leper could no longer participate in the communal life of the people. They were quarantined, if you will. You will notice it says they met Jesus, what does it say? At a distance. Because a leper could not come close to somebody who did not have leprosy for two reasons. One, it was a communicable disease, but also two, because it was a ceremonial disease. That is, it was tied to a judgment. It was tied to being set apart. It's like a person in prison. Such was the dilemma of the leper. The good news in the story is Jesus was passing by. So desperately they cried out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Anybody ever needed mercy? If you've never needed mercy, keep on living. In fact, if some of us here today hadn't gotten mercy, we wouldn't be here today. These leprous men weren't too proud to beg. They said, mercy. Have mercy on us. There is nothing we can do to change our situation. Jesus doesn't speak to them until they have spoken to him. The implication is, if they hadn't said nothing, Jesus was going to keep walking. Because they were desperate, they cried out with a loud voice and said, have mercy on us. Then Jesus speaks and says, go and show yourself to the priest. So when Jesus says, go to the priest, he is referring to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. Now, what makes this interesting is that the reason you would go to the priest is because the leprosy was no more. And you wanted the priest to validate it. Before the leprosy is gone, Jesus says, go to the priest. So Jesus kind of inverts it and gives them an instruction to go to the priest when they still have the problem. He says, you know what the Old Testament says? You're supposed to go to the priest because most of them are Jews except the one foreigner, the Samaritan. Well, I want you to go to the priest now with your problem. Go to the priest and drag your leprosy with them. Well, the priest couldn't stamp that they were clean because they were unclean. They still have leprosy. But here it is. Verse 14 says, as they were going, they were cleansed. A transformation of their circumstances took place. The first thing I want you to know today is that they didn't see their change come until they acted on what Jesus told them to do. The great problem today is our lack of faith. Obedience to Jesus' command led to a cure. They prayed about it, but they didn't get better because they prayed. All prayer did was give them the information to apply. Have mercy on us. That's our prayer. Jesus answer. Go, show yourself to the priest. They go, God responds. When you pray, the next question you got to ask is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Until you've answered the question about what God wants you to do and begin the process of doing it, you have not exercised faith. You've not exercised faith just because you've called on the name of the Lord. You have started the process because you've gone to the right person, to the Lord, so you have prayed. But you have not exercised faith until what you have prayed becomes what you have obeyed. There is rarely an issue in your life where you need God to reverse your leprous situation, whatever that situation or what I'm calling that curse may happen to be, that he will not call you to a faith response first. In other words, he's going to call you to do something that demonstrates that you trust him. Faith is not a feeling. You can feel no faith and still be walking in faith. What does the Bible call it? It calls it walking by faith, not feeling by faith. It's walking by faith. Well, how do you walk with your feet? Means you got to move. Because the only way you know you have faith is by what you do, not by how you feel, and certainly not by what you say. People say it all the time. Well, I have faith. I have faith. I'm trusting the Lord. Well, how do you know you're trusting the Lord? How do you know you're not just saying you're trusting the Lord? Because if your feet not moving, you're not trusting the Lord. I don't care how faithish you feel. People say, I'm trusting the Lord to supply their needs. Okay, have you trusted him in your giving? No. Well, then you're not trusting the Lord to supply your needs. I don't care what you said, because God gives specific guidelines all the way through the Bible. All you got to do is read Hebrews chapter 11, and it says, by faith, then it gives a person's name, and then it tells you what they did. It will always tell you what they did. By faith, Noah. What did Noah do? He built a boat on dry land. Talking about looking like a fool, you don't build a boat on dry land. You build a boat near water. Most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, when God calls you to act in faith, it won't make sense. So let me pre-warn you. It will not be something that you would say, I mean, why show myself to the priest if I still got the problem? I know what the priest gonna say. You ain't clean. It didn't make sense. Build a boat on dry land? Abraham, slay your only son? Doesn't make sense. God will regularly ask you to do something that either doesn't make sense, or let me give you another one, that you don't want to do. Okay? I'm going to tell you that now. It will regularly include something that is not your preference. When Moses got his big call to lead the children of Israel, you know he got that call? He was watching a bush that wouldn't burn. That's a contradiction. You can't have a bush that's on fire that won't burn. That doesn't make sense. God put his disciples out in the middle of the sea when he told them to go to the other side. They got in the middle of the sea, and it says, and the harder they tried to get over to do what God said, the worse the winds got, so they couldn't get where God told them to go. He put them in a trick bag. He put them in a contradiction. Yes. You will regularly find yourself being told by God to do things that don't make sense or that you don't want to do. But here's the good news. Whenever God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense or that is apparently a contradiction, he up to something. Yes. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is you won't like it sometimes, many times, and you won't want to do it many times, but he's usually up to a whopping situation when he puts you in a catch-22. If you're in a leprous situation, that's your own fault, and you need mercy, God's going to ask you to show yourself to the priest. He's going to ask you to do something that doesn't connect, that doesn't make sense. And he's going to take his word, and he's going to impress something on you. Because remember, Jesus' word was still tied to the Bible, Leviticus 13 and 14. It was still tied to the scripture. Go do something that I know doesn't make sense. Just do. And while they were doing the thing that didn't make sense, the text says that they were cleansed. A miracle takes place when they follow the doctor's order. Have you ever been to a doctor who told you to do something you ain't want to do? You know, take something you didn't want to take or undergo something you didn't want to go? If you're not in the medical field, you don't know enough to disagree. You don't know enough to disagree. And if you're not God, you don't know enough to disagree, even when it doesn't make sense. So I want everybody to get straight here. A lot of people are stuck in their leprosy because they don't want to do what doesn't make sense. And so they stay stuck. If they hadn't gone to the priest, there wouldn't have been a cleansing because they would not have followed the word. When Jesus tells you to do something that's crazy, it's only crazy to you. He fine with it. All right? Now, it may be crazy to everybody else. See, the one thing these 10 guys had in common, they had nothing to lose. You see, when you had leprosy, you had nothing to lose. So we might as well go look like fools, because we have nothing to lose. And you know, sometimes God has to get us so low, we have nothing to lose. Because as long as you got something to lose, pride takes over and you won't humble yourself. See, that's humble. Humility is not just, I'm nobody. I've never been anybody. No, that's a lie. That's not humility. Humility is submitting yourself to the direction of God, even when that direction is not what you want. That's humility. Coming under the legitimate authority of God in your life. So they all got the same miracle. They got the same problem. They go to the same master. They make the same request. They all walk in faith toward the priest. So they all got the same miracle, because according to the verse, it says, as they were going, they were cleansed. So far, so good, right? One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God. I love this. With a loud voice. Fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan.
When Dr. Evans continues our lesson in just a moment, he'll talk about what it means to move beyond healing to wholeness. First, though, I want to remind you about a great resource we're making available right now, the Kingdom Family Devotional, written by Dr. Evans and his son Jonathan. It covers 52 practical topics, one for each week, with a set of 5 devotionals for each topic. The material is simple enough to share with your kids, but meaty enough to challenge every member of your family to grow stronger in their faith while you grow closer to each other. For a limited time, we are offering a copy of the Kingdom Family Devotional as our thank you gift to those who support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any amount. On top of that, we'll also send you CDs of all 10 lessons in his current teaching series, The Comeback, including material we didn't have time to bring you on the air. Contact us right away and take advantage of this double offer before time runs out. Visit us at TonyEvans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you, day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
In 2017, the New England Patriots overcame a 25-point deficit to win Super Bowl 51. In 2016, the Chicago Cubs and Cleveland Cavaliers both came back, down 3-1, to win championships. These teams had one thing in common. They were down and out and fought their way back to victory. Many of us are in similar situations, feeling overwhelmed from the demands of everyday life. In his new book, Your Comeback, Tony Evans provides the inspiration you need to have your ultimate personal and spiritual comeback. Begin the journey to your comeback today. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Okay, you got 10 guys. They're going, well, Jesus said, go to the priest. Let's go to the priest. And they look in, and all 10, it says, were cleansed. One of them, and not the one you would have expected, the Samaritan, is seeing his skin color change, him coming back to normal. And he goes, whoa. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. The others keep on going. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But one turns around, comes back the other way, and with a loud voice. See, when you've been real low for a long time, you don't care about being pretty. You don't care about everybody agree, everybody thinking you sophisticated. When you've been at the bottom and God didn't raise you up to the top, so you're not ashamed to be identified with him. It said, with a loud hallelujah, bless his holy name. But look what he does. Look what he does. And you can miss it if you read it too fast. It says, he came to Jesus' feet. Wait a minute now. When we started the story, he was at a distance. But now that he's been all cleaned up, he didn't close the gap. See, sin created a distance, but cleansing got him up close. So now he's all up in Jesus' grill, praising his holy name. In other words, when one man recognized what happened to him and the miracle that took place, he stopped. He pushed pause in his life. Well, wait a minute, but what about the 9? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. The 9 are going and showing themselves to the priest. They seeing the same thing, because it says while they walked, they were all cleansed. They seeing the same change. But they did what many of us do. They got so engrossed in enjoying the blessing. I'm going somewhere. They got so engrossed in enjoying the promotion, enjoying the new job, enjoying the new house, riding in the new car, wearing the new clothes. See, everybody want a blessing. Everybody want to say, gimme, 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 gimme. But we can get so engrossed in the blessing that we forget there's a blesser responsible for the blessing. So they said, look, we got clean skin. Let's keep on going. But one man remembered where his blessing came from. He remembered this didn't just happen by luck. This didn't just happen by chance. This didn't happen by circumstance. This was a supernatural act of God, and I want God to know that I know where my blessing came from, and with a loud voice. So you know when somebody knows where their blessings come from, because they get loud about their Savior. See, there ain't no more quiet Christianity. Ain't no more secret stuff. They not on mind going public. He comes back at Jesus' feet, because he can now get close. And he praises him. He decided, I can go to the priest later. Plenty of time to get to the priest. But the priest didn't do my healing. The priest didn't solve my problem. The priest, see what we'll do is we'll thank everybody else. He said, I'm going back to my source. Watch this now. In order for this to happen, the one guy had to leave the group. No, he was in a group. It was 10 of them. At this point, he's not trying to please the crowd. He's not trying to hang out with his homies. He wants to go back to his source. I'm going to tell you why that's important in just a minute. I'm going to tell you why it's important to leave the group. Jesus sounds hurt here. Because Jesus says, but I thought there were 10. He sees one come back in verse 17. He says, where are the 9? In Jesus' mind, 10 folk should have been turning around and coming back. Because 10 folk got their miracle, got their reversal. 10 got a comeback who didn't come back. One pushed pause, turned around, said, yeah, I catch up with y'all later. But I know where my blessing came from. And he takes it right back to God. But Jesus says, but how come I don't see 9? See, all 10 wanted a blessing, but not all 10 wanted to return to the blessor.
Yes.
See, churches are filled today with folk who want a blessing. Yeah. Churches are filled today with folk who want God to do something for them, fix something for them, turn something around. But God wants to know, when I turn it around, are you going to turn around? He comes back and he makes a big deal about God. That's what the word glory means. Glory means to advertise. Glory means to make a big deal about something. You glory with a loud voice when your team scores the winning touchdown and you jumping up shouting and high-fiving. That's making a big deal about a player or a play. Says he made a big deal about God. Jesus said, but no one turned away to give God glory except this foreigner. A person you would least likely think. I would have thought my Jewish boys would have turned around first. They know the Bible. Okay? They Jewish. They got the background. They got the history. They've been in church for a long time. See, sometimes God can get more glory out of a drug addict who ain't never been to church, who God turns around, than a bunch of church folk who too cute to turn around. Now, the story all comes down to this. And he said to him, stand up and go. Now, he told him go first already. He didn't tell him go once. Go to the priest. But now, after he didn't got his praise on, after he has given God glory, he says, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Oh, this is deep. I thought he was already well. Come on now. Didn't we just read that as the 10 walked, they were cleansed? In fact, the fact he was well is what made him turn around and thank God that he was well. But Jesus said, your faith has made you well. But wait, man, I'm confused. I don't understand. They have already exercised faith. Because Jesus told them to do something that didn't make sense. Go show the priest when they were already diseased and there was no cleansing. So all 10 men exercised faith because all 10 men went to the priest. But Jesus says to this one, your faith, the 10 faith made them clean. But your faith, I may save this the next week. It's too good. But your faith has made you well. So evidently, it's possible to be cleansed and not be well. Evidently, it's possible to make your external better and all still not be well. Some of you know what that's like. It's possible to make more money and all still not be well. It's possible to be blessed with a house, but all not be well inside the house. It's possible to have a better job and still not everything is well. In other words, it's possible to get an external blessing with some stuff still needing to get fixed. Now, let me explain something. When the man had leprosy, for however long he had it, his life was greatly destroyed because of it. The man may have lost his wife. The man may have lost his kids. He certainly would have lost any meaningful job. The man lost any meaningful income because you couldn't work a normal job situation. Things were shattered beyond just the effect on his skin. The effect on his skin affected a whole bunch of other stuff that was not well. What Jesus said, here it is when you asked me the first time and you obeyed me the first time, I gave you an external blessing because your skin was made clean. But when you turned around and came back to me the second time and gave glory to God for what I did for you the first time, I'm going to do some stuff for you that I'm not going to do for the nine that didn't turn around. I'm going to fix some stuff for you that I can't fix for the nine. Now, the nine are going to have nice skin, but they ain't going to find the job situation fixed. They're not going to find the family recovered. Why? Because all they wanted was external blessing. They didn't want complete transformation. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. You can come to Jesus for life, but if you want abundant life, you got to come back and give God glory. You give God glory.
What does it look like to come to Jesus for life, as Dr. Evans said? To find out, just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. You'll find out about what it means to have all your sins forgiven, to be adopted into God's family, and to be 100% sure about your eternal future. There are even some free resources to help get your new life started off right. Drop by TonyEvans.org today and check it out. When you do, don't forget to request Tony's current series, The Comeback, which explains how God can set you free from whatever's held you back and show you why it's never too late to make a difference by being different. As I said earlier, these 10 lessons on CD are yours as our gift when you make a donation, any donation, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, you'll get the 52-week Kingdom Family Devotional book I told you about. But this is a limited-time offer, so don't put it off. You can make all the arrangements online at TonyEvans.org. That's also the place to go to find out how you can enter to win a free trip for you and a guest to the Holy Land with Dr. Evans this November. Don't miss out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. Well, next week, Dr. Evans will explain how God can take a man, even one who's made mistakes, and turn him into the leader he was meant to be. You won't want to miss it. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.